Hey everyone, welcome to the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. On this podcast, we share some thoughts from our weekly gatherings as home churches, as well as our messages from when we all get together. It's our desire to help people become fully devoted followers of Jesus, and we hope that this podcast encourages you to walk in that way. Thanks again for joining us, and enjoy this episode. Hey everyone, it's Caleb and Shannon here with the Motion Church Weekly Podcast. We took last week off, did something different with our church family, did a little bit of prayer and just worshiping the Lord together. And so we are back this week. This past weekend, we looked at John chapter 3, verses 16 through 21, perhaps one of the most famous verses among those in the church and even those outside of the church. John 3:16, and so we kind of looked at that passage, broke it down a little bit, and so we want to share a little bit of that with you today. So Shannon, why don't you give us some background, a little bit of context here before we get into it?
Yeah, we you did a great message on Saturday, and I thought you really hit a lot of cool key points and everything. And one of the things that you said that I really wanted to highlight before letting you go and do your review is, you know, you had made the comment, which I think gets overlooked sometimes, is a lot of times this passage gets preached like it's John sharing the gospel message. But really what he's doing is he's quoting Jesus's own words, and it's still part of the conversation with Nicodemus. So what we're seeing here is we get a window into Jesus challenging a religious leader in Israel, God's very people that were supposed to go out there and be the lights to the world. We're not being lights to the world, and that's what he's challenging them with. You know, it's you've got a religious leader who, you know, Jesus gets on the religious leaders all the time for lifting their traditions above truth, as teaching their traditions as the word of God, as opposed to the word. And so he comes to Jesus in the darkness, you know, all sneaky like, and he's going to engage in this conversation with him. And then Jesus turns it right around. And, you know, the last thing that we looked at when the encounter with Nicodemus, he tells Nicodemus, he said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. He's like, listen, it's not about all this legalistic mumbo jumbo that you guys have built up. It's always been about me. It's always been about what I'm doing here, fulfilling the law. You've elevated all the side things, all the aspects of it. You've elevated the temple and the laws and all of these traditions and things, but you forgot that they were all pointing to me anyways. And the whole result wasn't just so that Israel would be saved, but that the whole world would be saved. And that's when he goes into the great passage, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Why would Jesus be elevated up like the serpent in the wilderness? Well, because God so loved the world that I'm here giving my life. And so this passage really is a continuing rebuke against the religious leadership of Israel for missing the whole point of what God was doing in the first place, and as a result, totally missing the ball of what they were supposed to be doing. And as a result, they're missing the fact that the Messiah and the kingdom is right there in front of them. And so it's a really important context, I think, for us to keep in mind as we're looking at this passage. In fact, when I was sitting down and looking at how we were going to break up this message series in John for this year, I really wrestled with this. Because I was like, no, this is really part of the encounter with Nicodemus, and I don't want to really separate it. But at the same token, sure. I didn't want to overwhelm everybody too, because there's a lot of meat in these two passages. And so that's just a bit of the context, I think, that we need to keep in mind as we look at this portion of the Gospel of John. So
the verses 16 through 21 really obviously connect to that discussion with Nicodemus. It's Jesus carrying that on. But we talked about how it even connects, John connects it back to even chapter verse 1 and 2 with a lot of things in here. And so we're going to look at that here a little bit as we go through this. So let me just read verse 16. For as it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." We talked about on Saturday that it said, "For God so loved the world," and how it had become kind of just normal for these religious leaders and the Israelites to just really focus on themselves and say, "God loved us," right? They're like, God gave the covenant to Abraham, and so God loved us, the Israelites. And Jesus was kind of reminding them, like, hey, God loved the world, and so he gave his only son. He gave the covenant to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, there at the end, he says, "And all the nations will be blessed through you, Abraham." And they kind of forgot that as time went on, that everybody was going to be blessed. And so we see Jesus here. He says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We see Paul carry that same idea in Galatians chapter 3, 8, and 9, that through Abraham, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And so God's reason here in verse 16, Jesus is saying the reason he sent his son would be so that anybody who believes in him would be saved. They wouldn't perish. They would have that eternal life.
That's right.
And that perish there, that word is really focusing on that final destiny of separation from God. We talked about how God doesn't desire that anyone would perish, but that they would all come to the knowledge of the truth and eternal life. And so we really wanted to remember that as we read through verse 16 and the rest of these. And we talked about how easy it is to kind of skim over that verse. And it's just something that we hear so much. It's something that we know. And I think we take it for granted, just like, you know, our knowing God. We feel like we know God enough, and so we don't get in his word. And so we kind of take those things for granted. And so we didn't want to do that as we were going through this. And what Jesus said there, and it was eye-opening for me just to remind myself throughout this thing that this is Jesus talking, because I had never really thought about that. And so just reminding myself of that, where he says God gave his only son, and he's talking about himself, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And we talked about that word believe, and how we kind of lost some of that meaning in today's day and age. People will believe anything, and they feel like they believe something because they just know about something. And that's not what Jesus was meaning there. It really means to trust, or commit to trust. And that's a heavy thing. It's not just saying, yeah, I know about this, and so that's my belief. Like, no, there's something that you're committing to trust there. That's your belief. Believing in Jesus is how we get that eternal life. And then verse 17, really cool part here. It says, "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." And we took a moment here to kind of talk about how John likes to kind of share Jesus as the sent one from God. And he uses that, I think, over 30 times in this gospel alone, as Jesus being sent from God. He is that sent one. And then he, in turn, sends his disciples. And so it's really cool, because in the Jewish culture back then, a messenger who was carrying a message from somebody, it was believed that they were very, very similar, or just like the person who sent that message. And so he's portraying Jesus as that way, where Jesus is God, and connecting to his purpose for writing the gospel. And so in that verse 17, Jesus kind of reiterates to Nicodemus his purpose, and that was for God to save the world, not to, like you were saying earlier, lift up these man-made things. He said, no, it's the purpose is to redeem what was messed up there back in Genesis chapter 3. And so we went back there because you got to remember all of this stuff that's like, why is Jesus here in the first place? Well, it's because in Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve sinned and God talked about the serpent and Adam and Eve, and how the enmity would be between them, and God prophesied of the Messiah coming one day to put an end to that. And so Jesus is connecting that story here. And we shared a couple references just going back to the idea of God doesn't desire for men to perish or be condemned, because Jesus said God didn't send him into the world to condemn the world. Some references, if you want to look them up later, that was Ezekiel 18, verse 23 and 32. We looked at 1 Timothy 2, verse 4, and 2 Peter 3, 9. Those are really great references, just showing us how much God loved the world and loved them in a way. He didn't want them to stay in their wicked ways. He wanted them to change. And so moving on to verse 18, Jesus continues. He says, whoever believes in him, believes in the Son of God, is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And so this is where we went back to that story that we looked at before, where it said Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And so we talked about how the Israelites there, when they were bitten by that serpent and Moses had finally raised up that serpent that God told him to raise up, when the Israelites would look to that, they would be saved. But if they didn't have to look at it. And so when they were bitten, they were, in a sense, condemned. And the only hope was to look up to the thing that God had set up, that serpent that Moses raised up. And so Jesus is kind of playing off that here, because he's saying, if you don't believe, it's no difference, because you're condemned already. There's no change that's going to happen if you don't believe, because you're already condemned. You're already separated from God. And those who believe, though, in the name of the only Son of God, those are the ones that are under no condemnation. And Paul shares that with us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that was an awesome verse that we shared talking about that there. And then verses 19 through 21, this was kind of where we camped out a little bit, because a lot of stuff in 19 through 21 is where John connects this to the entire gospel that we've already studied so far. So verses 19 through 21 say this. Jesus says, and this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And so Jesus goes into this idea here about light and darkness. And what is interesting is that when Nicodemus came to Jesus, it was in the darkness. And so I think he was saying this to kind of get at Nicodemus there, like, look when you came, right? You loved the darkness rather than the light. And so Jesus went straight at Nicodemus there, confronting him about coming to him in the night. And so Jesus here is also sharing the fact that he is that light. And so we kind of talked about the darkness versus light. We talked about, why do we like darkness? And we said, it's easy to hide in darkness. Sometimes the longer we're in darkness, the less vulnerable we feel. We get more comfortable in it. We can't see very clearly in the dark. And so we drew that connection back to Genesis 3, where before Adam and Eve sinned, they were just walking in the light. They were communing with God and walking with him and in the garden. Then once they sinned, they now were separated from God, that eternal light. And so they were now walking in darkness. And so from that time, mankind has lived in darkness. And God has shared glimpses of his light through the prophets and judges and those who trusted in him in the Old Testament up until Jesus here, and just little glimpses of his light. But mankind always rejected that light ultimately once it got to an uncomfortable place. And we looked at a couple of those Old Testament promises about the light of salvation, the light of God. A couple of those, we looked at one, Psalm verse 20, or chapter 27, verse 1, where David said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." We looked at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, chapter 42, verse 6 in Isaiah, don't remember if we looked at 49 verse 6 or not, but that's another good one. And so just a lot of these Old Testament verses where there's just these coming lights or a coming light that, that God was prophesying towards when Jesus comes. And so Jesus is that light that has come, and he cannot be overcome. And so we went back to John chapter 1. I'm trying to get there real quick so we can read this. John chapter 1, I'll read verse 3 through 5. It says, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men." And verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And so we talked back in that chapter 1 where John is beginning to lay out who Jesus is, and it connects Jesus to being that light that shines in the darkness, and the dark cannot overcome it. Then we talked about, what does light do? Because we talk about darkness and how we love it more than light sometimes, and how, you know, even when we're trying to wake up in the morning, it's hard to look at the light when you turn the light on first thing. So we talked about, what does light do? And we said light exposes what was not seen in the dark. It exposes whatever was there that maybe we didn't see in the darkness, but now when the light's on, we can see it. And Jesus is telling Nicodemus here that even though he came to him in the darkness, in the dark of night, Jesus knew his motives, and he was able to expose those evil and wicked desires, which was so cool. Because then in chapter 2, connecting it to chapter 3, it said that Jesus knew what was in man. And so he connected that. Jesus just knowing, because he is that light exposing those things in the darkness. It was so cool. Then we talked about, let's see, what does light do? And then we talked about Christ being able to expose our evil deeds, bring them into the light. And then it was our decision whether or not to welcome that light into our life, or to go back into that darkness. Because Jesus said in the end of verse 19, he said, "People love the darkness rather than the light. Why? Because their works were evil," right? We've been living in darkness. We don't know any other thing to do. We're just living in evil ways. And so we love the darkness. And verse 20 says, "For everyone who does wicked things hates the light." They're not going to enjoy the light. It's not going to be easy and fun and comfortable. They enjoy the darkness. And it says they do not come to the light unless his works should be exposed. And then verse 21 is the change here that happens. He says, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light." And just kind of seeing this now as I'm reading it again, it's reminding me, you know, what did Nicodemus do? He came in the darkness, but he came to the light. He came to Jesus. And so that's, I think Jesus has given him a little bit of a hope here. He says, "But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." And so we said, you know, mankind overall as a whole loves darkness rather than light. So when Jesus came as that ultimate light, the world rejected him. They didn't love him. And really, even to this day, people still reject Jesus and his light and God's light. But when we or whoever, when people come to decide, okay, I'm coming to the light, when they see Jesus as the light and allow him to expose the sin and the dark places in our life, that's when he gives us that eternal life and that light, and we're able to see clearly. And we said, you know, it doesn't mean our lives are perfect. We're still far from it, but we allow that light to continue to expose the dark places in our hearts and in our lives and allow it to change us. And so we said, you know, what should that make us, or what should that cause us to do as a church, all of this? And we said, well, we need to be a place of light, letting Jesus fill us with his light. Let Jesus fill our lives. And we wanted to be so full of Jesus that we just carry his light into everything that we do, and letting him, like I said, expose those dark places in our hearts and in our lives. And it makes a difference. And then personally, we said, we need to ask Jesus to show us ways in which we're still living in darkness, because we still have those things that we haven't let the light shine on. And we need to let Jesus show us those things. And we went to Ephesians chapter 5, which is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. And if you want to read through that at some point, it talks about walking as children of light, and that we're not to live in darkness anymore, but we are to live and walk as children of light. And it's just super cool there what Paul says on Ephesians chapter 5. And so, you know, reading through this, I just wanted to remind you here that I think we said it last time on the podcast that it's important to, as we're reading this, to read through those parts before the verses that we're studying this the current week, so that we get that overall context of the book, and then try to remember the overall story of that Bible, of the Bible and God's word to us, and really makes a difference as we're studying and looking through this these things. And so, Shannon, you got anything else you want to add?
No, I think you did, like I said, a really good job presenting the information here. One thing I do want to bring about this passage, and I think it's a challenge for us today in the church too, is I think a lot of times we portray the Pharisees and the religious leaders as the villains in the story, because they're the ones who ultimately led to the crucifixion of Jesus and all of that. But we got to remember that they didn't see themselves as villains. They believed everything that they were doing God's work. They were God's people. They were the religious leaders of God. Yeah. And even in Paul, you know, Paul, when he was going around and pulling Christians out and having them put in prison and giving his thumbs up to having them murdered and killed and what have you, he thought he was doing God's work. And I think that's the cool little neat thing here when Jesus throws, you know, Nicodemus that bone of hope, where he says, but whoever does what is true comes to the light. So it's almost like, you know, Nicodemus, he's here, he's in the darkness, he's representing the Pharisees, and he probably has some other agenda, but ultimately he's there to find what he is looking for truth. And I think that's why we see Nicodemus later on in the stories. We're going to see, hey, I think he's switching sides here. I think he's got it. I think he saw light and it affected him. And I think the challenge for us is we got to be careful to not just stand on we're God's people, we're doing his work. You know, we need to be willing to really look at what we're doing. Are we doing his work? Are we going after the truth, or are we going after something else? You know, are we ultimately doing the biblical mission, or do we have something that's just a candy coated version? And I think that's a challenge for us as the church as well. Cause listen, we can have all the flashiest stuff there, fill our seats with all sorts of people, and not be doing what is true, and not be doing what is light, and not be doing what is God's actual mission. And I think that's another challenge for us to be thinking about in this story of Nicodemus and the great gospel message. So
challenging thought, that's for sure. Well, everybody, we want to just thank you for listening this week, and feel free to leave us a comment or share some thoughts with us. And we hope you have a great week. We'll be back with you next week on the podcast. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Motion Church Weekly. As always, head over to our website at motionchurch.life or follow us on social media to keep up with the latest from Motion Church. We hope you have a great week.